海紧贴人才培训工程教学系列丛书，上海英语口译岗位资格证书考试，高级听力教程第三版，由上海外语音像出版社、上海外语电子出版社录制出版。第四盒。
Part 4. The Civil Rights Movement in the USA. 3. Exercises. A. Here is a lecture about America's most famous black leader, Martin Luther King Jr., and the Civil Rights Movement. Listen to the lecture and take short notes on the most important points in the space provided below.
The 1950s and 1960s were years of great struggle for black Americans. Although slavery had been abolished in 1863, segregation in the 1950s, the separate and unequal treatment of blacks by whites, was still the custom in the northern part of the United States. In the southern states, it was the law. As an example, suppose you were a black citizen in Montgomery, Alabama, in 1954. A simple bus ride into town could be very frustrating. When the bus stopped for you, you paid the driver in the front of the bus. However, as a black person, you were not allowed to sit in the front. The front was for whites only. So, after paying the driver, you had to get off the bus, walk to the back, enter at the rear door,and sit down in the back. What happened if the front of the bus was full and more white passengers got on? Well, you had to give up your seat in the back and ride standing. That was the law. On Thursday, December 1st, 1955, something important happened. On the day, Mrs. Rosa Parks, a middle-aged black woman,refused to give up her seat to a white man. The bus driver called the police and she was arrested. This one small event helped change the direction of American history. It also marked the beginning of the career of the most famous black American leader, Martin Luther King Jr. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was a young minister in a black church in Montgomery.When he heard about Mrs. Parks' arrest, he, along with other black leaders in the city, decided to protest it. They organized a boycott of the buses for one day. That is, every black person in Montgomery was asked to stay off the buses for one full day. The boycott was a complete success. Because about 70% of the bus company's customers were black,The buses drove almost empty all day long. Later that day, black leaders decided to continue the boycott until the company promised black riders better treatment. As the boycott went on with Dr. King as its leader, the white people of Montgomery became more and more upset and angry. Dr. King was put in jail and beaten, and his house was bombed. But throughout all this,Martin Luther King told his people to meet violence with non-violence and to meet hate with love. Because of his powerful message of non-violence, no one was killed during the entire year of the boycott. Finally, in 1965, the United States Supreme Court said it was illegal to segregate blacks and whites on buses, trains, or planes.Martin Luther King had taught his people a new way to win their rights. After the bus boycott, the use of nonviolent protest against segregation became popular through. Dr. King led many peaceful marches against segregation in restaurants, movie theaters, and other public places. On August 28, 1963, the biggest march of all was held. More than a million people from all parts of the country, black and white, young and old, marched on Washington, D.C. They wanted Congress to pass a national law against segregation and discrimination. At that meeting, Dr. King gave one of the most famous speeches in American history, I Have a Dream. In the speech, he talked about his hopes for America and the world. 2 years after Dr. King gave this famous speech, one of his goals was achieved. The Civil Rights Act of 1964 became a new law that made it illegal to segregate blacks or other minorities or discriminate against them. In the same year, Martin Luther King also received the Nobel Peace Prize. His work was far from finished, however. He continued to fight for civil rights not only in the South, but also in northern cities like Chicago and Detroit, which had large numbers of unemployed black workers. His message was still one of non-violence, although some young black leaders no longer accepted it as a way to win equality. Many did not believe in Dr. King's way of love and peace. In 1968, violent riots broke out in New York, Detroit, and Los Angeles, poisoning the air of the country with hatred and violence. The horrible climax came on April 4, 1968, when Martin Luther King Jr. was shot to death by a white man. Thanks to Dr. King and the civil rights movement, black Americans and other minorities have won many rights in the last 30 years. Today, no shop owner can legally refuse to accept a customer because of race. Public facilities must be made available to all people. Schools can no longer be for white children only. Segregation has been made illegal. But have prejudice and discrimination completely disappeared from our society? Not at all. The struggle against them continues.
B. Listen again. Add more information to your notes and then complete the following outline. Part 5. Homelessness in the United States. 3. Exercises. A. Listen to a talk about the homeless people in the U.S. and choose the best answer to each question you hear. In the United States, homelessness has grown at a dramatic rate during the last decade. Estimates of the number of Americans currently without a permanent home vary wildly. Advocacy groups, like the National Coalition for the Homeless, say that close to 3 million Americans live on the streets or in emergency and temporary shelters. The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development puts the figure at 350,000. Yet both bureaucrats and advocates agree on one point, that is, the face of homelessness has changed radically in the past 10 years, as more and more low-income housing is mowed down in the name of progress. Some 20 years ago, says Kristen Morris, assistant director of the New York office of the National Coalition for the Homeless, the typical street person was a white male who suffered from a mental illness or an addiction to drugs or alcohol. Today's homeless, however, are a more eclectic group. More than 60% of the homeless today are black, mostly single mothers with small children. More than half of them have never been homeless before. In many cases, they have been evicted from their homes, or the low-income housing in which they lived was demolished or burned down. About 60% of all homeless people live on some form of public assistance, with an average monthly income of $210. About 20% are mentally ill. According to Marie Robinson, who is a lawyer for the Coalition for the Homeless, there has been a real democratization of Skid Row. All sorts of people have been pushed out of the housing market because of the critical shortage of affordable places to live. As a result, homelessness has climbed to the top of the Me Generation's shortlist of social concerns. But there is a great gap between concern and active involvement in the effort to solve this growing problem. For many people, the inaction is due to ignorance, not indifference. According to Ellen Rocks, who is executive director of the House of Ruth, a Washington, D.C. organization that provides shelter and other services to women who are homeless or are the victims of domestic violence, there are a lot of people who want to get involved but don't really know how. The fact is that there are many ways in which individuals can help the homeless. Yet for those people truly interested in the cause, one of the first steps is to get to know the homeless and understand how they became that way. Many advocates believe that it is important for middle-class people to get to know and reach out to the homeless and bridge the gap that exists. Middle-class people have to learn that what is happening in America today is an all-out war on the poor. Just as America once robbed the Indians of their land, today we're robbing the poor of affordable housing. Questions. 1. According to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, how many Americans are homeless?
2. According to the talk, which of the following is responsible for the dramatic growth rate of homelessness?
3. Which of the following statements is true about the homeless people?
4. Why is there a great gap between mere concern and active involvement in solving the problem?
5. According to the talk, what is one of the first steps to help these homeless people? B. Listen again and supply the missing words or phrases. Part 6. Listening and Translation. A. Sentence Translation. Listen and translate each sentence you hear into Chinese. Then write it in the space provided below. 1. Australia has long been a major exporter of raw materials to the world, but it is now looking to make a name for itself as an exporter of high technology.
2. Shanghai is a world-famous city. Shanghai has been a window to the West. It is the city in which my country and yours issued the communique that began our modern friendship.
3. It is an incredible moral problem. How to live together with this vast gap in wealth? It's what development economists such as myself spend all our time thinking about.
4. A revolution of human rights and political rights is also clearly at play throughout the world, where people are saying, I have my rights to my physical person, to my participation in society.
5. World economy is getting increasingly integrated, and this has very serious implications socially and politically. We also have a cultural phenomenon, the emergence of a global culture or of cultural globalization. B. Passage Translation. Listen and translate each passage you hear into Chinese. Then write it in the space given below. You may take notes while you are listening.
A hotel is a temporary home for people who are traveling. In a hotel, the traveler can rest and has access to food and drink, either on the premises or nearby. The hotel may also offer facilities for recreation, such as a swimming pool, a golf course, or a beach. In many cases, the hotel also provides free space for the traveler's means of transportation, which nowadays is the automobile in most cases. All of these services are designed to accommodate the traveller, so the hotel business is often referred to as the accommodations industry.
2. Here's a job possibly for somebody who's a school leaver. It requires no experience at all, but training will be given on the job. And the pay is $280 a week. What's the job? Well, it's a shop assistant in a busy supermarket. It's a full-time job, but the big thing is you don't need any experience. So, if you're just leaving school and fancy working in a supermarket, try that. You get one day off during the week, and you must work one late evening till 9:30 p.m. Okay? So, that's a shop assistant. Well, if you fancy any of those jobs, give us a ring here at Radio Southwest.
Unit 8. Part 1. How the British spend their holidays. 3. Exercises. A. Here is a passage about how the British people spend their holidays. Listen and then choose the best answer to each question you hear.
Nearly all British people in full-time jobs have at least 4 weeks' holiday a year, often in 2 or 3 separate periods. The normal working week is 35 to 40 hours, Monday to Friday. People who have to work in shifts with unsocial hours are paid extra for the inconvenience. More overtime is worked at extra pay than in most other Western European countries, but there is relatively little moonlighting, that is, independent work for pay in leisure hours. Another way of saying this is that the black economy, involving work paid privately in cash and not officially recorded or taxed, is relatively small. There are only 8 official public holidays a year, only one of them in the 6 months before Christmas. None of them celebrates anything to do with state or nation, though the first holiday in May was made a bank holiday by a recent Labour government, as the British holiday in honor of working people. The most obvious and traditional British holiday destination is the coast. No place in the country is more than 3 hours' journey from some part of it. The coast is full of variety, with good cliffs and rocks between the beaches, but the uncertain weather and cold sea are serious disadvantages. Also, 2 weeks in a hotel room with balcony and private bath can now cost less in Spain or Greece, with flights included, than the same in a British hotel. Most of the hotels in the numerous seaside resort towns were built in the railway age, between 50 and 100 years ago, and seem not to be used as much by people going to conferences as by those on holiday. Going to a conference can be a sort of holiday, even in working time and with expenses paid.
Questions. 1. How long is the annual holiday for nearly all British full-time employees?
2. How many hours do British people need to work 1 week?
3. What does moonlighting refer to?
4. How many official public holidays are there in 1 year in Britain?
5. Which of the following is not a disadvantage for holidaymakers at a British seaside resort? B. Listen again and then decide whether the following statements are true, T, or false, F. Part 2. How many different countries have you ever been to? A. Listen to a woman talking about her travel experience and choose the best answer to each question you hear at the end of the conversation. How many different countries have you ever been to?
Once I made a count of how many countries I'd hitchhiked through, and it came to 28. So, if you add on a few more for those where I haven't hitched, I imagine it comes to about 40 by now.
About 40? And are there any of these that you feel you really would like to go back to?
Two that I could actually live in, I think. One would be the west coast of Canada, because I think that had everything to offer. It was rich culturally, it was very bright, and it had a very pleasant climate, slightly improved on Britain. It had the Rocky Mountains behind, loads of coastline, a lot going on both day and night, a large university, and it was just near America if you felt like crossing the border. The other place I like, but more for a holiday, was Sardinia, which I found was one of the quietest, most unspoilt parts of Europe that I've seen.
What is it about traveling that makes you want to keep doing it?
I think it's the time when I feel completely alive every minute of the day. I also feel I have a tremendous amount of experience to bring back every time I've traveled. There's so much to share with other people. I feel I've got sort of 200% me to give once I come back. But when I'm actually doing it, you're free from all the bounds of routine. You're free from the assumptions people make about you. You're free from the inhibitions that cause you not to fully be yourself.
But it can also be a little bit dangerous at times, too, can't it?
It can certainly be dangerous if you're doing it alone. I avoid traveling alone whenever I can. I mostly go with people I know very well, and this is part of the travel, discovering the person you're traveling with, and discovering the differences in taste and the similarities in taste. But the most dangerous situation I found myself in was nearly being knifed here in Devon. But apart from that, I was on a train in Hungary where there was a murder in the loo, and we were kept for 2 hours while they investigated why somebody had been stabbed in the loo. I've also slept, voluntarily, in a prison in Norway and another prison in Germany. And in one of them, we were locked in and heard the other prisoners shouting and banging on the doors, and that felt quite frightening. I managed to get right into the center of the Middle East war through no choice of my own. They wouldn't let us out of the plane, and we were caught throughout the whole war in the country and couldn't get around at all. That felt as if you were living on a knife edge. We were lying there, contemplating quite coolly whether, if there was an air raid, we should actually go into the shelter or allow ourselves to be killed on the spot. And there are certainly risks, and I think more so when you do travel alone. So I try and avoid it.
Questions. 1. How many countries has the woman been to?
2. Which place does the woman seem to like most?
3. Considering that traveling can be dangerous at times, what does the woman do?
4. Which of the following is true about the woman?
5. The woman mentions several reasons why she wants to keep traveling. Which of the following is not one of the reasons? B. Listen to the latter part of the conversation again and supply the missing words or phrases. Part 3. Holidays may be a source of stress. 2. Exercises. A. Listen to a talk about the holiday-related stress. When you are listening to the talk, take notes in the space provided below. Sunshine and the beach may sound like the ideal cure for all your ills, but holidays can also be a source of stress, and that can affect your health. Stress is now a major health issue of the new century. One survey put the annual cost to British business at £1.3 billion in absenteeism, with around 100 million workdays lost each year. If left unchecked, stress can lead to illnesses which affect physical fitness, such as heart disease, high blood pressure, and severe aches and pains, particularly neck and backache. Yet, although work is frequently cited as the main cause, holiday stress can be even more damaging. The traditional summer break, regarded by most people as the highlight of their year, can actually undermine health and put pressure on family relationships. Instead of tackling problems before they go away, a lot of people believe a holiday will work magic for them. But holidays are spent in strange places where it may be difficult for tense people to relax. They may feel even more disturbed if they get the idea that others are having a more wonderful time than they are. It becomes a complex, vicious circle, with people coming home more stressed than before they went away. Holiday preparations involve a series of many stresses, like tying up loose ends at work, remembering to cancel the milk and newspapers, boarding the family pet, arranging foreign currency, last-minute shopping, working out how much spending money to take, and worrying about securing the home against burglars. Crowded airports, delayed flights, and packed hotels are also major stress factors for most holiday makers. Stress experts say we should take 2 or 3 short holidays a year instead of a long midsummer one. According to Professor Kerry Cooper, psychologist at the University of Manchester Institute of Science and Technology, if your one holiday a year turns out to be a disaster, you have nothing to look forward to for another year. A big mistake is to take your holidays according to the month instead of when your body tells you it is time to unwind. July and August can be the two most disastrous months for holidays because there are always crowds, queues, and delays. Some people like crowds, but holidays are a time for peace, quiet, and personal space. Another strain is not being able to do what you want on holiday, so you end up compromising and no one has a really good time. If the holiday is self-catering, a wife is going to feel stressed at having to cook, look after the children, and do all the other chores she handles at home, while her husband goes off to play golf. Disappointment is very stressful. If you have high hopes of your holiday and it lets you down, you won't be refreshed and may feel in need of another holiday. It's not going to kill you, but it won't help you to recharge your batteries. According to Professor Ben Fletcher, head of psychology at Hertfordshire University, some people become over-anxious when they are going on holiday and worry about what happens if they are taken ill. So for them, their chosen holiday spot is not a secure place. Many couples and families are simply not used to spending long time with each other, and some people cannot cope with that. Others may try to establish who is boss on holiday, while a lot of people just find it difficult to relax. B. Listen again and supply one word only for each of the 20 spaces in the following passage. Part 4. How to prepare for a holiday. 2. Exercises. A. This is the Daily News Travel Information Line, which offers advice on making preparations for holidays. Listen and take notes on the most important points.
This is the Daily News Travel Information Line with 6 pre-holiday tips. When you're preparing for a holiday, you should first and foremost make a list of all the documents you'll need. Your list should include the following things. Passport, make sure that this is current. Visa, check the visa requirements for the countries you're visiting. Tickets, travel insurance certificate, foreign currency, and traveler's checks. You'll also need your driving license if you plan to rent a car. Tip 1. It's vital to arrange travel insurance for your trip, and your travel agent will probably offer it to you when you book. If you lose your baggage or your money, or if you need medical attention while you're away, your travel insurance will help to meet the costs. But be warned, if you're planning a skiing holiday, you'll have to pay an additional insurance premium. Tip 2. It's not a good idea to travel with large amounts of cash. only carry the amount you'll need for day-to-day expenses, such as taxis, bus fares, and food. Traveler's checks are a far safer way of carrying money around because you can get a refund if you lose them or if they're stolen. You'll need to order them from your bank in advance, and remember that banks abroad will charge a small commission when you cash them. Tip 3. If you're hoping to do some sightseeing, it's best to buy a guidebook before you go. Otherwise, you may have to pay the earth for something which is badly translated and barely understandable. If you don't speak the language, take a phrasebook as well. It could be very useful if you get into difficulties and may help to break the ice with locals. Tip 4. When you're packing, be careful to stick to the airline's baggage allowance, or you'll have to pay for the excess weight when you check in. Don't put aerosol sprays in your case, and make sure any sharp objects, like scissors, are carefully wrapped. Two useful pieces of equipment to take with you are an all-purpose adapter and a light traveling iron. Tip 5. If you are flying a long distance, there are a few things you can do to reduce the effects of jet lag. Try to adapt your eating and sleeping habits to the time zone you are traveling to. If you eat small amounts through the day and try to sleep for short periods, it may be helpful. During the flight, walk around the cabin from time to time and drink plenty of water to cut down dehydration, which causes exhaustion. Tip 6. Finally, it's wise to give the keys of your house to a neighbor or relative so that they can get in case there's an emergency. Ask them to remove any post from your letterbox, and don't forget to cancel any deliveries of milk or newspapers. Leave the telephone number of the hotel you are staying in and call to let them know your room number when you arrive, so that if they need to get in touch with you, they won't have problems tracking you down. Thank you for calling the Travel Information Line.
B. Listen again and add more information to your notes. Use your notes to complete the following sentences. Part 5. Traveling and Jet Lag. 2. Exercise. Listen to the talk on traveling and jet lag, and then choose the best answer to each question you hear. With thousands of people traveling every day as part of their jobs, there is great concern about the effect of jet lag on business travelers. In the world of international business, many men and women have trouble performing their jobs because they feel tired and sick from all their traveling. Business people are not the only professionals who suffer from jet lag. Professional sports players also find that jet lag affects their performance. I have recently read a health report, and it looks at the problem of jet lag in professional baseball. This report may be of interest to all of us, not just baseball fans. You see, researchers have wondered about how jet lag affects the job performance of people who travel for a living. The problem is that it is very difficult to measure exactly how jet lag affects most travelers. How can we measure the performance of, say, an executive who travels to another country to make a business deal? This is where the idea of looking at baseball comes in. We can measure the performance of baseball players by looking at whether baseball teams win or lose games. Researchers believe that we can see how jet lag affects performance in sports, business, and other jobs. The study, released today, focuses on the performance of professional baseball teams. It looks at the number of games won or lost by teams after they travel to another city to play a baseball game. In the study, doctors from the University of Massachusetts Medical School and Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston looked at baseball records from 2001 to 2004. They studied the performance of 19 teams in the Eastern and Pacific time zones. Looking at the results of the two games immediately after a team traveled from one coast to the other. The study shows that changing time zones may hurt the performance of West Coast baseball teams traveling east for a game, but not East Coast teams traveling west. The reason, researchers think, is that people traveling east suffer more from the symptoms of jet lag. An example of this effect can be seen in the Best of Seven League Championship Series played in 2003 between the San Francisco Giants and the Atlanta Braves. The winner of the Best of Seven Series goes on to play in the World Series to determine the best team in baseball. The games are played in the home cities of each team. So in 2003, the Atlanta Braves and the San Francisco Giants played the first two games in Atlanta, the next three games in San Francisco, and the last two games in Atlanta. In this contest, Atlanta won four of the seven games and was the winner of the series. Researchers believe that the San Francisco Giants lost because they played more games away from home and therefore had more jet lag. We know from past studies that the symptoms of jet lag are stronger when a person travels east. This is because when we travel east, our day becomes shorter. And a shorter day is more difficult to adjust to than a longer day. So the players from San Francisco were at a disadvantage when they traveled east for a game in Atlanta. The researchers think that the San Francisco team had more of the symptoms caused by jet lag problems, such as headaches, tiredness, and difficulty thinking clearly. All of these symptoms could result in poor performance by baseball players, making the difference between winning and losing a game. However, this is only the first study to look at the effect of jet lag on sports, and more research is needed. Other scientists say that this research doesn't prove that jet lag causes poor performance in baseball games. The study only looked at baseball records for 3 years, and much more information must be studied before we can decide if the losses are truly a result of jet lag and not some other reason. What about the home team advantage? Isn't the team that travels away from home at a disadvantage as well, people may ask? Yes, the positive effects of the home team advantage are well known in all sports. It's much easier for a team to play a game at home where they can sleep in their own beds and where the local fans can come to the game and cheer for the team. However, jet lag adds to the disadvantage for the team that's playing away from home. So, when the San Francisco team traveled east to play in Atlanta, They were at a disadvantage in two ways. They were playing away from home, and they had strong jet lag from traveling east.
Questions. 1. How do business people often feel from all their traveling?
2. According to the report, why did researchers study jet lag in baseball?
3. Researchers analyzed the performance of some baseball teams. Where are these teams from?
4. Which of the following is not mentioned as a symptom of jet lag?
5. Which of the following statements is true according to the health report?
Part 6. Listening and Translation. 2. Exercises. A. Sentence Translation. Listen and translate each sentence you hear into Chinese, then write it in the space provided below.
1. Today, about 20% of American children live with only one parent. One of the reasons for this is the increasing number of women who have children without being married.
2. For the first 10 months of this year, bilateral trade volume was $4.1 billion, which is a 25% increase over the same period of last year.
3. Child labor is just one symptom of the crushing poverty in the world, which deprives children of their basic right to education and freedom.
4. Over the course of the past 20 years, there has been an absolute move to market-based economy. That outlook, of course, means as little government control as possible.
5. Whenever the gold price falls, in any currency, it makes sense to buy financial assets. Stocks and bonds tend to move inversely with the gold price.
B. Passage Translation. Listen and translate each passage you hear into Chinese. Then write it in the space given below. You may take notes while you are listening.
1. Police said that about 500 homes were washed away by floods after a typhoon struck the west coast of the island yesterday, bringing driving rain and winds of up to 80 miles per hour. The typhoon flooded wide areas of the island and crippled communications and power supplies. All domestic flights were canceled yesterday, and the international airport was closed for about 5 hours. Government radio reported the two passenger ferries had been sunk but gave no details of casualties. The work of emergency relief teams is being hampered by blocked roads and the loss of power and telephone communications in central regions. It will be some time before we hear the final casualty figures.
2. I am profoundly grateful to you for twice giving me the honor to serve, to work for you and with you to prepare our nation for the 21st century. In all the work I have done as president, every decision I have made, every executive action I have taken, every bill I have proposed and signed, I've tried to give all Americans the tools and conditions to build the future of our dreams in a good society with a strong economy, a cleaner environment, and a freer, safer, more prosperous world.
Unit 9. Part 1. Arrangements for a visit. 2. Exercises. A. Here are 3 telephone calls about the itinerary below. Listen and make any necessary changes. Conversation 1.
Power Glide Systems.
I'd like to speak to Emma Wood, please.
Who's calling, please?
Ernesto Garone.
One moment, I'll put you through.
Emma Wood.
Good morning. This is Ernesto Garone.
Hello, Mr. Garone. Nice to hear from you. How are you?
Fine, thanks. And you?
Fine.
I'm phoning about my visit on the 22nd. I'm afraid I've had to change my flight and I'm not arriving until 11.
Oh, right. Thank you for letting us know.
And there's something else.
Yes?
Would you mind if I brought a colleague with me?
Of course not. Can I have his name?
Yes, it's a woman, actually. Signora Agnelli. That's A-G-N-E-double-L-I.
Signora Agnelli.
That's right. She'd like to have a look at your rolling mill.
Would you like me to arrange a demonstration?
That would be very kind.
Not at all. Was there anything else?
No, that's everything, I think.
Let me know if there's anything else we can do.
Thank you.
Until Thursday at around 11, then.
Yes. I'm looking forward to meeting everyone.
Thank you for calling. Goodbye.
Conversation 2.
Emma Wood.
Ah, Emma, it's Kjell Olafsson here.
Hello, Kjell. What can I do for you?
It's this visit by Ernesto Garone.
Yes?
I'm afraid I can't make lunch on Thursday.
That's a pity.
Louise can, so it's not a major problem. But I was looking forward to seeing him. Could we meet on Friday instead?
He's going to the Peterborough plant.
I know, but how about a breakfast meeting?
Yes, that would be possible.
Shall we say 8:30 at the Dorchester?
Yes, okay, and a colleague is coming with him.
Is that Signora Agnelli?
Yes.
Fine. Would you put it on the schedule, then?
Yes, no problem.
Thanks a lot, then. Bye.
Bye.
Conversation 3. Michael Black.
Hello, Michael. Emma here.
Hello, Emma. I got the schedule.
Good. The reason I'm calling is there have been some changes.
Oh, yes?
Mr. Garone is bringing a colleague, a Mrs. Agnelli. Would you mind showing her the rolling mill in operation?
No, not at all.
That's very good of you.
When would suit you best?
Sometime on Thursday, if possible. Would you prefer the morning or the afternoon?
The afternoon, I think. What about 2 o'clock?
That should be fine. We were going on a workshop tour at 2:30, but I can put that off till 3.
Right, then.
So that's 2 on Thursday, then. Thanks a lot, Michael.
You're welcome. Take care.
And you. Bye.
Part 2. Conference Arrangements. 2. Exercises. A. Two people are discussing arrangements for a conference. Tick all the items which come up in the discussion.
Could we have a quick word about the sales conference?
Yes, of course. The venue's booked.
Good, and I've got some definite numbers now. There are 107 delegates.
That's okay. The auditorium holds 130, and I've booked 2 other rooms as well.
We need to sort out the program.
It's difficult to do that without knowing how many people are attending each talk. There's a conference room that holds 60 people and a meeting room that holds 30.
Well, everyone's going to Mr. Tanaka's presentation. He's giving the opening address, but I'll find out about the others.
Would you also ask the speakers if they need any special equipment?
What have you got, then?
There are simultaneous translation facilities in the auditorium, and there's a video projector in the conference room.
What about microphones and slide projectors?
All the rooms have them.
Good.
What time would you like to start?
9, I think. Then we can fit 2 sessions in before lunch. What are we doing for lunch?
There's a bar for drinks, and I thought we'd have a buffet.
Don't they do sit-down meals?
Yes. Would you prefer a sit-down meal, then?
I think so.
Okay, I'll arrange it.
And I'll find out how many people are going to each presentation.
And what equipment the speakers need.
Yes, okay.
B. Listen again and answer the following questions. Part 3. L'Oreal is active in all world markets. 2. Exercises. A. Here is a talk by a manager from L'Oréal about her company. Listen to the description of the company's activities and take notes on the most important points. Pay special attention to figures.
L'Oréal is active in all world markets, and we employ just over 30,000 people worldwide. We have production facilities, agents, and subsidiaries in all five continents, and we are increasing our share of the world's cosmetics markets. Let's begin by looking at the different activities of the group. This slide shows last year's sales when we had a turnover of 37.57 billion French francs. If we look more closely, we can see that the largest part of our revenue comes from consumer and salons activities. This market segment accounts for 49% of the total turnover. It includes skincare products, makeup, fragrances, and hair care products, where we are a world leader. The next division is perfumes and beauty. Here we have an exceptional range of prestigious brands, which includes Lancôme, Helena Rubinstein, and Biotherm. This division's turnover increased last year to stand at 8.5 billion francs. Moving on to active cosmetics, this division has dual objectives. Firstly, to develop new, technically advanced cosmetics, and secondly, to enhance our close relationship with pharmacists, a key channel of distribution. It achieved a turnover of 3.7 billion French francs last year. Then we come to Synthelabo, our pharmaceutical subsidiary, which accounts for 16.8% of our total revenues. It regularly invests 20% of its turnover in research and development. Synthelabo is making advances in the treatment of central nervous system disorders at the moment, and it will become a world leader in this field in the future. In addition to these four major areas of activity, L'Oréal also owns Art Curiel, a contemporary art gallery. We hold a major stake in the Marie Claire Publishing Group, and we have increased our stake in Paravision International, a film production and distribution company. Together, these activities account for 1.8% of our turnover, or 0.7 billion francs.
B. Listen again and add more information to your notes. Use your notes to complete the following sentences. C. Listen again and complete the following extracts from the presentation. Use one word for each space. Part 4. Arrangements for a presentation. 2. Exercises. Here is a recording of a one-to-one meeting. Listen and then choose the best answer to each question you hear. Ah, good morning, Ms. Ross. Do come in.
Hello, Mr. Fisher. Nice to see you.
Face to face instead of on the phone. What? How are you?
Fine, thanks. Very well.
Oh, do sit down. Would you like some coffee?
Oh, yes, please. Black.
Here you are.
Thanks. Well, how's it all going?
Oh, not too bad. We're just about to open a branch in New Zealand. Oh, I'm hoping to, if I can justify it to the marketing director. How's your little boy? Has he started school yet?
Oh, yes. He's in the second year now.
What? Already? Doesn't time fly? Is he enjoying it?
Very much. It's much more fun than being home.
Well, I suppose we'd better make a start. Shall we get down to business?
Right. First of all, can I confirm the time and date of the presentation? It's Saturday, 24th October in the morning. What time exactly?
Well, on the invitations we've sent out, we've said that the presentation itself will start at 11 and go on till 12:30.
So you'll need the room from about 10 till 2. Would you like us to serve coffee beforehand?
Yes, yes, and drinks and snacks at the end.
Better to have buffet lunch?
No, people who are invited won't be expecting a free lunch. They might think that's overdoing it. They want to get back to their families, as it's Saturday.
All right. The normal pre-lunch snack buffet will be what you need. That's basically the same as what you had last February.
Oh, that'll be fine.
Okay, well, we'll charge for the room, coffee and a snack buffet at the standard rate, less 15%, as we agreed. And we'll charge for the drinks served on a pro-rata basis.
Fine, fine, yes.
What type of equipment, furniture would you like?
Well, let's have five tables for our display. We'll bring our own stands. Now, there's an overhead projector and sound system already in the room, I believe. Can you get someone to check that before we come, you know, to see that it's working?
Oh, of course. The technicians will be with you when you're setting everything up. Oh, the seats in that room have flap-over desktops. Will that be all right?
Yes, yes, that's fine, sure.
You say you've sent out the invitations. Any idea how many people there'll be? I think, you know, there's... The capacity for the room is about 50, but 40 is ideal.
Yes. The problem is that we won't know exactly how many there'll be until shortly before.
Can you let me know definitely by Thursday?
No, but I'll have a rough idea and we'll budget for the number I'll give you then. We've sent out 100 invitations.
100?
Yes, well, in theory that means that there could be 200 people.
Yes, but the room won't...
But, of course, I don't expect more than about 30 to come.
But what if they do? This room is the only one we have that day. There is a wedding reception in the banqueting room, so we...
Well, in that case, I suppose... Questions. 1. Where is the man's company about to open a branch?
2. What date is the presentation scheduled to take place?
3. What time is the presentation scheduled to start?
4. What will they have for lunch?
5. What equipment will the man bring to the presentation room?
6. How many people can the presentation room hold?
7. How many invitations have been sent out?
8. How many people does the man expect to come to the presentation?
Part 5. Numbers, dates, and times. 2. Exercises. Listen to 10 short conversations and write down all the numbers, dates, and times you hear. 1. Could you give me his phone number?
Yes, it's 0865-267-622.
2. How many people were at the meeting?
16.
3. We've gotten 60 inquiries so far.
Good. And how many have you replied to?
About 2/3. 4. How many kilometers are there in a mile?
1.6.
5. It's freezing today.
Yes, it's -8 degrees out there.
6. When were you born?
1958.
Were you? I was born in 59. 7. What's the population of Sweden?
Around 8.5 million.
8. I'm free on Friday that week.
Okay, that's the 18th of July then.
9. My flight leaves at 16:50.
Then we'd better leave for the airport at about 2:30.
10. How much did it cost?
$999.99.
Part 6. Listening and Translation. 2. Exercises. A. Sentence Translation. Listen and translate each sentence you hear into Chinese. Then write it in the space provided below. 1. Women in this country now receive equal pay for equal work, and 90% of all women work as truck drivers, scientists, and most other traditionally male jobs.
2. Until the 20th century, the majority of blacks lived in the southern part of the United States. Thus, prejudice against blacks is often associated with the South.
3. In 1999, The number of poor whites increased to 12.5%, while 29% of black families were considered poor and received coupons regularly.
4. People in this age group have to borrow money to pay for houses or apartments, and they also spend a lot of money on furniture and appliances.
5. I am trying to give voice to obese kids. I think that losing weight is much more than putting the chopped veggies in the fridge and taking them out when you're hungry. B. Passage translation. Listen and translate each passage you hear into Chinese. Then write it in the space given below. You may take notes while you are listening. 1. We Americans are incredibly lazy. Instead of cooking a simple, nourishing meal, we pop a frozen dinner into the oven. Instead of studying a daily newspaper, we are contented with the capsule summaries on the network news. Worst of all, instead of walking even a few blocks to the local convenience store, we jump into our cars. This dependence on the automobile, even for short trips, has robbed us of the valuable experience of walking. If we drove less and walked more, we would save money, become healthier, and discover fascinating things about our surroundings.
2. It was interesting to look at what processes or events led people to adopt a simpler lifestyle. There were a number of people who chose simplicity after experiencing a serious illness or death of a loved one. We know that these events often get people to stop, think, and take stock of their lives. Other people decided to live more simply so that they could spend more time raising their children. But I think the presence of stress and lack of time were the dominant motivating factors that led people to simplicity.
That is the end of the tape.
Bye.